This episode of Star Wars in Character is brought to you by the Artmore Project Fundraiser. So far, the Artmore Project has brought together 60 artists to create one-of-a-kind works of art from blank sets of Mandalorian armor. These artworks will be auctioned off as part of the 2013 Star Wars in Character Star Wars Toy Drive, benefiting the Philadelphia area Toys for Tots. Now, when you donate as little as $5 to the Artmore Project, you'll receive a special thank you gift, an exclusive episode of the Star Wars in Character podcast featuring the bounty hunter Dengar. This special episode is available only through Artmore Project donations. For more information on this project and fundraiser, and to find out how to access more exclusive episodes, visit our website at swic.neozaz.com/donate. The Star Wars in Character podcast looks forward to creating a new milestone with our 2013 toy drive, and thanks everyone for your support in this exciting new project.
Are you serious?
Yep.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the elements that make up the Star Wars universe. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about Tion Chyler.
Don't say rare, because 5 minutes ago you thought it was a dude. Well, maybe
that's why I'm still saying it.
Maybe you're saying rare anyway.
Wow, penis.
What?
Tion
Chyler. Foreskin.
Do you need an Emperor Pez?
What? I need what Tim wrote up on. What I needed. Tion Chyler, this female, has a vagina.
That's not in my notes.
Hey, your doctor.
Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back.
Special edition,
yes. I got a few names here that I took from a fan. His name is Timothy Miles.
Oh, really?
Yes.
This is encouraging.
It is.
Now I want to hear him.
Yeah. This is usually the worst 5 minutes of the show, but now I'm...
only two of them are from him.
Oh.
For me. All right.
Tim, you could come up with two more. Come on.
It'll be a good 2.5 minutes and then shit.
Yeah. Okay.
My name is Blue Harvchrist.
That's good.
That is good.
That's got to be his.
It is his.
Nice job, Tim.
Is it bad that when Chris says the word blue, I just automatically hear the word balls in my head in his voice?
Not at all.
Blue ball.
Harvchrist.
That's good.
Yeah, that's really good. This one's good too. Ready? Today I'm joined by Maddle of Endor.
That's his too. So okay, from it's all down from here.
Right.
The next one is yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
To my right, Ando Dave.
What's that?
Ando was posing as a Corellian official fleeing from this planet.
So you don't know what it is?
No.
Okay.
Now, Ando is a planet.
Yeah, yes. It is. Right there.
Ando is where the Aqualish are from.
Ah. Uh-huh.
What did I put down?
That's Ponda Baba, right?
Da, 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 da.
Hey, Aqualish!
Is Adam Sandler doing Jethro Tull?
What's in your throat, Tim? That sounds pretty good without anything in there.
Well,
you don't know what he's doing down there in music.
Music City.
Now this next one, I did it and I like it. All right.
Okay.
And Timmy Chyler. Do you know who that is?
It's not Tia.
That's
I know who that is.
Her hot sister, right?
Hot nope. Cousin.
Cousin.
It's her hot cousin.
Hot
Kimmy.
Cousin.
Oh, so it's not Tion. It's you're not using the T from Tion.
No, her name's Kimmy.
Name's Kimmy.
So,
and that's all I got.
I did Timmy.
Show's over.
Nice.
You just did all of Matt's information.
Thanks, and asshole.
Well. Maddle of Endor.
Nice.
Yes, tell sir. Sorry, I was swallowing what Tim was gargling.
Is it salty?
No, it's actually a little bland. I don't know what's going on.
It's about this female who's a woman who has breasts.
Did you say three facts or just facts?
Breast assist. Yeah.
Give us 16 facts.
16 facts. Okay. Tion Chyler. Tion Chyler. She is, of course, the well-dressed redheaded woman walking down the corridor of Cloud City when Lando gives his announcement that the Empire is taking over and everyone needs to evacuate. She stops and for some reason turns around. I'm assuming the speaker must have been behind her to listen to the announcement.
And she does like crane her neck. Yeah. Like, can you speak up? She's like hard of hearing. Like,
right? like a dog, you know?
Blah, blah, blah.
There's always things in these movies. There's always little things that sort of date them. And I think her outfit dates her as someone in the mid to late 90s. It really does look like a business casual outfit from that time period. You know as some people, like, she looks like she's probably in her late 20s here. It sort of seems like people that were in their late 20s then, now they're in their late 30s and they still dress the same way. So she just reminds me of someone just from that time period.
When I watched this scene yesterday and timed it in case Dave didn't get a chance to time it, I thought, I don't know why it struck me when I saw this. It looked like a nice weather casual version of the Hoth soldier outfits.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like that khaki kind of situation going on. You've described her before we started recording. She almost looks like she's wearing like mom jeans.
Yeah, they're mom. Yeah. Well, they're mom pants. They're mom slacks. I mean, only a mother would wear those.
She looks like she's like an employee at like an office supply store.
Yeah. I work there.
Or something.
It's like, can I speak to the manager? And that's who comes around the corner.
I have a feeling that this is probably an ILM employee, and this was actually what she was wearing on that day.
Yeah, that could be.
I don't think they did anything different for her.
The only thing that makes it look like a little Star Wars-y or a little space opera-ish is it's kind of got like this little capey thing flowing behind her. Just very, very subtle and small behind her. But again, that certainly could be what she wore that day, like you said.
She just got off work at Office Depot.
She's just punching out. Yeah.
What did you
go? She's a single mom. She's got to do this real quick and then go home and pick up the kids and bring them to soccer.
See?
Right.
Times were tough in 1997. I'm interested. The only thing I care about now is what Mac got for her screen time so we can compare.
All right, you want to get that out of the way now?
Sure.
Okay, I got 2.4 seconds.
2.3.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
I'm surprised that it was that close. We were like right on the money.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
So I'm not doing something wrong.
So, well, it's funny that our discussion kind of leads into what her overall claim to fame in a sense is. I'll go back to how she started, but really she's good at what she does because she is not really a master of disguise, but has a knack of just kind of blending in and not being noticed and being able to get shit done. So I guess that description, we kind of gave her four different stores she could have possibly worked for just based on her outfit. So that must be something to what she wore.
She's good at being inconspicuous.
Exactly. Yeah. So her actual story starts like the noble part of her story. Well, first I should say she's a human female because that's always pointed out in Wikipedia what they are. So she's human female there. That's done.
Yes.
She was part of the Imperial Security Bureau, and the Imperial Security Bureau was the division that handled law enforcement and internal intelligence.
ISB.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yep. Or the MIB.
She worked for the Empire? She didn't work for Bespin?
Nope. She worked for the Empire.
Oh.
And she started her career very early on. She was part of a training group for young Imperials called the Sub-Adult Group. Okay. Which is kind of like the Future Leaders of America camp or something, according to what I read in the research.
The 4-H
club. Yeah, exactly. It's actually the largest section of Compnor, and I've seen Compnor like at least 20 times in the 100 episodes we did. I'm like, what the hell does Compnor stand for? So I finally have that answer. Compnor stands for the Commission for the Preservation of the New Order. Yay.
That sounds...
The only thing I like about her so far are her looks.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how you tell. She was only on screen for 2.4 seconds.
Hey, that's all it takes for me.
It will get better. It's a long road, I'll tell you. And not real long, but it'll feel like a long road. It'll get better, trust me. So
long road. When you're on your own.
Come soon.
See, it's already better. So she went during her time in the sub-adult group, she started to develop a reputation for being pretty ruthless at getting the job done. And she just was a no-frills, no-nonsense type of person. She didn't go through like elaborate, super James Bond villain type things to get shit done. It's like if a chicken needed to be killed, she didn't invent a new machine to kill a chicken. She just walked up and snapped its neck.
All right.
Yeah. She's heartless. Cold.
She was heartless. She was cold, and she had a job to do. It was done, especially in the name of the Empire. She's a big, big Imperial supporter from the day she was born, apparently. Mm.
TCB. Take care.
Yep. So while developing this reputation as a youth, she attracted the attention of the leaders of the sub-adult group, like, real quick. And they sent her right out straight from the sub-adult group sleepaway camp into the Imperial Security Bureau. I don't know what I'm thinking about that I said the word impurity there.
I like sleepaway camp.
That's good.
Pamela Springsteen.
So she rushed. She not rushed through training, but she completed her training quickly for her bureau training. She went right away to work, and her job, and up until from this point on and to where we see her in Empire, was to track down and flush out rebel spies and sympathizers within big organizations like at Bespin. So she would infiltrate these, you know, different groups and businesses and whatnot, find out who the rebels sympathizers were, and report them right to the Imperials, not do it directly, so that way she could, you know, keep her kind of middle of the road reputation and move on to the next job.
So she's like a headhunter. She's like a bad guy.
Yeah, she is a bad guy. She is one of the worst bad guys we've talked about, because she is like so job driven that she is not out for any power in of herself. I think that makes her more dangerous than someone like Mahdi or Veers.
Yeah.
Was she using her sexual prowess to gain this information?
No, that's the really interesting part about her, I think, so far. I hadn't thought of that until you said it, so I guess maybe not, but
I was hoping she's gonna be like the Mata Hari, like sleeping around, just getting information.
So, like, in all this stuff with the Empire, because I had no idea this is coming. This is a total curveball, because you just think she's just some citizen of Cloud City.
Nope.
Who can't hear well?
I can't hear what he said. This Lando man.
Yeah. but you're saying she's a bad guy, and we've talked about. You know, I mean, bad guy. She works for the
Empire.
Yep. And we've talked about people from the Empire, and people know all the famous people. This is the first, like, one of the first women. This seems like she's got some stature in the Empire. So she's like a little badass.
Yeah. She's, for this kind of undercover work, she seems to have been the Empire's go-to gal, in a sense. Mm.
Mm. Who the hell, like, thought of all the information from just her turning her neck? You know what I mean? Right. All this background of her going, what?
You're not a writer.
I'm not.
We can tell by your names.
So basically, leading up to what we're talking about, she was so good at, or she, that was her specialty, I should say. Her specialty is routing out sympathizers. And the Empire got a tip that someone in the Cloud City, in the Bespin system, specifically in Cloud City, was supplying the rebels with Tybana gas. So they sent her to find out who it was and flush him out. Now,
who would do such a thing?
I know. Well, we're going to find out very shortly. But I'm going to take a little side note here, because I want to know what the hell is so important about Tybana gas, because we've talked about that before. And yeah, what
that'd be good to know.
What's that?
That would be good to know, because we talked about that a couple of times, and we don't really know what it's good for.
Okay, so the first, it's a gas, obviously, that is actually used both in its gaseous and liquid form. And here's the interesting part about where the gas comes from, and I suggest this to put this on our character list. It's actually the farts of a creature called the Beldens.
What?
It's like, no. It's like, yes,
method. According to Wikipedia, yeah. It's the farts and apparently the urine of these Beldens. That's what Tybana gas and Tybana liquid is.
It'd be great if you had a soundboard that we could actually
Belden look like?
Sounded like.
Yeah. Excuse me.
There we go. Tybana gas.
Ooh, he's good gas.
Ooh, I can taste it.
That ain't gas, man.
He's got Tybana sharks.
Sorry, that computer's just a touch out of reach, so there'll be more farts when I'm not hosting.
Okay.
but okay. So why it's important? Its uses are pretty. It has like three primary uses, all which are important and would be important to someone like the rebels. In fact, for the Empire as well. It's a heating fuel. It's a hyperdrive coolant, and probably most importantly in this situation, it is the power part of the power source for blasters and other laser weaponry.
Ooh.
Farts?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yep.
So every time, oh wait God. A second. So every time someone shoots a blaster, that's
it's a little, fart?
Well, in a sense, I mean, I'm going to guess blaster packs, since they don't have bullet chambers, have some kind of battery. And I'm going to guess this is part of the chemical reaction that causes those laser blasts. Like it's a primary ingredient. Like say it's the acid inside a battery, then you put some other kind of particular rod in there. And when you make a contact from the spark, a laser blast is formed.
Hmm. If we could just harness our own flatulent power, imagine what the human race can accomplish.
Yeah, Al Gore needs to get working on that.
I know.
We all need to aim our asses at Syria right now.
That
stinks in here.
Is condensed farts.
Wow. That's more important than anything else in the whole episode.
So basically, this whole idea of Star Wars all comes down to who harnessed farts fastest. And I think they did.
What's that awesome line, which I want you to do it in the voice, that Han Solo says?
What?
When a good blaster by your side. But I want you to change the word blaster to like fart. As Han Solo.
Hokey religions and magic are no good for a good fart by your side. Is that what you want me to say?
Is that a real one? Is that Tim's mouth? Or is that a real
Tim, pretty mouth.
Pretty mouth.
It's my fart mouth. Aye.
In your spicy hole.
I can't get over this now.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else for the rest of the day but this.
And I'm actually sad about the rest of this episode now.
Maybe that scene when they fly into the big mouth and they're all wearing those masks.
Yeah.
Maybe because of all the farting and all the blasters that Chewie shot off.
Oh my God. That sounded painful.
That one, yeah.
I thought it smelled bad on the outside.
That one has blood in it, I think, that one.
Aww.
Blood fart.
I can't come into work today. I'm farting blood.
I've heard that before.
Try to harness it for power.
Spitting up blood, pissing blood.
I think I said I was shitting blood.
All right, what else about this woman?
Okay, well, now how she got to Bespin. So she got in her assignment, so now she had to find a way to Bespin. So what she did was she posed as a Carillion mining official from Ando, the Aqualish planet. And apparently, Aqualish are skilled either. I don't know why they are used for mining Tyban, I guess. I don't know if they can't smell the Beldon farts or if they're, you know, not affected by it. But for some reason, Aqualish are like the primary Tyban miners. So she posed as a Carillion official from Ando along with a shipment of Aqualishes. And her story was that they escaped the Empire before their occupation of Ando, and they were there all there, you know, looking for different mining work. So now she was, like we said, I said a couple times, she was skilled at blending in. All the Andonians or Aqualish and the real officials, mining officials, never questioned who she was. They just kind of looked at her and said, I guess she's with us. Looks like she's with us. You know, she just blended right in. No one ever questioned it.
Because that's what her.
That's what she did. Yep, exactly.
All right.
She dove right into work and she pretty much right away uncovered a majority of the extent of the unregistered mining. Now, the unregistered mining is the mining that was being filtered, the Hibana gas filtered to the rebels. So she, you know, gathered information, gave it to Darth Vader, and I don't know if I like this or not, but this is what Vader used against Lando. Tion gave this information to the Empire. Vader, you know, intercepted it, or I'm assuming has privyed all this information. He, when this all happened, was right in the midst of Boba Fett tracking Han Solo to Lando Calrissian. So Vader went to Calrissian saying, I have this information. You know, you can either work with me on here's, you know, work with me on getting Han Solo and working with this bounty hunter, or I'll make sure the Emperor gets this and we're going to take over Cloud City and you'll never see any of it again. So this is how, why Lando, according to the story, was working with Vader and said, you know, tells Han, I have no choice. He got here before you, yada, yada, yada.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that. Like, where in the timeline does this happen? Like, did they know all along that Lando's kind of skimming the till?
Not for sure until Tion was the one to discover it and confirm it for sure.
That?
Watch him.
All right, well, that's cool. Like it's cool that there's the her backstory even adds to the cool kind of awkward relationship between Vader and Lando.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Okay, cool.
This is good.
All right. So, okay, so she pretty much, you know, sticks around, watches this all pan out, and Empire eventually, of course, does take over Cloud City anyway. And her story kind of goes into a post-Empire but pre-Jedi thing here now. So she's still on Cloud City. You know, part of her mastery at what she does is, you know, blending into a situation. Now she has to gracefully blend her way out. So she just can't leave without explanation or, you know, things start... may start being spread around and her cover might be blown. So she's kind of sticking around for a little bit. And meanwhile, the Empire is so happy with what she did, but that by the time she's able to gracefully get out of Cloud City, they are going to give her a huge promotion.
Mm-hmm.
But since she decided to, you know, finish this job the way she usually does and find a way gracefully out, she stays just a little bit too long because the Aqualish miners start a revolt against the Empire.
Ow.
Yes. Now, this revolt was ended and everyone involved was executed, but the Empire completely blamed Tion Chyler for this whole thing.
Oh, bastards.
Right. And no promotion for her, and now she's stuck on Cloud City. She can't even get out. They won't even give her transport out. They're like, okay, honey, you know, raise your own money and get out because we're sick of you.
She's like a like a refugee almost.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, she's still an Imperial spy or whatever you want to call her, but that's all she's ever going to be. And they're in no hurry to give her another assignment because they're pretty pissed at her. She was a scapegoat. This, you know, was not her fault, but, you know, glass ceiling and all.
Yeah. You had a nice run, honey. Go fix me turkey pot pie.
So she's starting to get a little frustrated at this point because she's pretty much been an Imperial, you know, hard ass. Everything she's done has been for the Empire since she was a kid. And she thought she had found a pretty important thing here by finding this Tybana supply. So she's getting a bit frustrated. So she's kind of watching everything now from this new perspective. And she's starting to see that, you know, maybe this Rebel Alliance that everyone joked about around the water cooler might, you know, actually have a chance. And she's starting to think maybe she's going to jump ship. She might have a better life at the Empire. So she contacts one person that she thought was always involved in this Rebel Tybana guest. Huh?
Sexy cousin?
No, not yet.
Does she come up at any point in your story, the sexy cousin?
No, not really. You know, they don't really have a story together. I do have notes on her at the end. But this one person she always thought was a Rebel sympathizer but never confronted...
Mm-hmm.
She finally went to talk to him, and he's got intro music.
Oh.
Santa?
I'm not going to play that whole song. So our very own Arrow Filter's very own Wilro Hood. Now,
I heard, Matt, that you like this guy a little bit.
I fucking love... I should play this song.
That's what Chris asked me. He was like, why did Matt want to do this so bad? Because he forgot.
Yeah.
That's all I know I needed to do was remind him.
That's right.
That's right. Well, yeah. So, and you know, it's fun. This is the first time I wrote Arrow Filter down, and it's A'RO. I really hope that's not a Afro reference.
That would be unfortunate.
That would be.
Afro Filter.
But Arrow Filter's very own Wilro Hood. So I actually told quite a few people this at Wizard World. We're talking about the episodes, and I said, hey, there's going to be a Wilro Hood part two coming up. So when you hear me host, that's it. So this is what I was alluding to.
This is what everyone's been waiting for.
Well, all six people that we met at Wizard
Just
World.
Just let your soul glow.
Yeah, where's Christy at now?
So Hood actually suspected that there's something going on with Chyler too on the Imperial side. So I just get this envision that when they reveal each other, they're both sitting across the table and go, "Ah, you know, like in a sitcom."
Yeah.
So
is there a sexual chemistry between these two?
Well, there's some more on that coming later too.
Whoa! Oh my God!
Hey now.
Okay. So
love among the clouds.
So the two kind of hashed out, everything that they had suspected each other and came to a mutual understanding and agreement. And this is actually pretty unbelievable, considering I went back and read about Willow Hood and her. And here's what happened and I don't know if this was not on Wikipedia when we did the episode, if this is all new information, but she actually had pinpointed Hood as a rebel sympathizer and had him arrested at one point.
Oh,
and the Imperials interrogated him with the same device that they used on Han Solo, that Darth Vader used on Han Solo.
Oh, man.
Ah,
and it's tough.
And I found out what that is. It's called a scan grid. And what it's not a torture device. They just, the Empire turned it into a torture device. You're actually supposed to put a sample of a mining ore or something on this, and it shoots these different frequency and power and different levels of power electricity into the sample to register what kind of minerals are in here. So this is not meant to be touched by human flesh. So it's a pretty dastardly device. No wonder Han Solo was screaming.
Yeah, they just took the thing out and put somebody's face in it.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I'm going to shoot you
in the face.
In the face. Oh.
But through all this, I mean, it's basically like the electronic version of waterboarding, it sounds like. But Willow Hood resisted it all. He resisted it all and never admitted to anything. So that's why, even though Tion Chyler was pretty sure he's a sympathizer, she could never prove it.
He was a hero, like you said.
You can't spell hero without row.
Row.
Yeah, that's new information, because you would have brought that up. That's pretty cool information to know that he was tortured in the same way that one of the, you know, greatest characters in the saga was. He was in that same exact apparatus as Han.
And I don't know if it was before or after. I like to think as before. It's like Vader would always test these things on people he didn't need before people he needed. Like, he needed Han to live through that so Luke could feel the pain. So he's like, get that Willow Hood guy. We'll try it out on him. If he dies, he dies.
Now, we have no idea how well Han would have held up under this. Even though he was screaming, he says they never asked him any questions.
Right. Yeah. And I think
so. We're not sure who the tougher one is. Is Han tougher than Willow, or is Willow tougher than Han?
I don't think it was a question of toughness by testing on Willow. I think it was just a matter of, I think Vader, again, this is in my head. I'm thinking Vader said, go ahead and see if you can make sure it doesn't kill a person first. Maybe you can interrogate this ice cream guy with this or something. I don't think, yeah. So, yeah, you're right. I see your question. So, I don't know necessarily that it was a good interrogation method. This may have been the first time it was ever done. I don't know.
He was a guinea pig.
Yeah, exactly.
He put ice cream on his cheeks so the electricity didn't hit his skin.
Which cheeks?
Which cheeks?
Here's some strawberry. Mmm. Ooh, it's so cold.
Off the rails. Okay, so back to their story to show her. He, of course, after getting tortured and all this shit, he Willow is the most suspicious of the two. To show her seriousness about defecting, she gave Willow Hood everything she knew about the new Imperial defense system that they put in the Cloud City, and he gave that information to the Rebel Alliance to take a look at. And sure enough, you know, all this panned out. They were able to find a way to overcome the defenses and attack, pretty much assault Cloud City and take it back almost instantly, because they knew every way around their Imperial defenses. So she checked out. She did good for the Empire. I mean, the Rebels, just like she used to do with the Empire.
So she did what every other single person almost in the Empire does. And
gets disillusioned and turns and helps the Rebels, pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
So now that's her story. As far as Wikipedia, I got some more here after the behind the scenes, but it's a little different format, so I'll get to that shortly here. So, but as far as Wikipedia, there's no real story. There's no report of her death, let's say. I would assume she blended in somewhere nice and safe and had a comfortable, uneventful, you know, rest of her life, because that's what she was good at, and that's probably how she eventually lived out her life.
I thought that... Okay. I thought you picked her because I just was maybe wrong or making this up. I thought you picked her because they had some like kind of long, lurid love affair, the two of them.
That's what I was expecting as well.
Lurid.
They had a relationship because you even called her Wilra Hood's girlfriend or something.
Yeah, like. Well, when I first saw the notes, I thought that's where it was going, but that's not really where it went. And okay. Then I did the research and went, oh, no, I kind of built this up.
You want to know why?
Why? That says it all.
Once you go black. All right, go ahead.
Were they at least sexting each other? Did they like take a picture of his unit and she took a picture of her hoo-ha and they just
We'll say yes. That'll just make everyone feel better. Okay.
You had to send five texts.
I was going to say that. Five shots. The tip, the middle.
She had to get three iPhones and line them up on a table.
Just use that panoramic feature on them.
Just put all five panoramic shots together and then you'll get an idea.
Just a tip.
Oh. Yeah, ruined such a nice story.
And it was a nice story.
It was. So
Chris soiled it.
So, all right, I got some behind the scenes before I get to the last bit of the story here. We said it's a 1997 special edition Empire Strikes Back. She walks down the hall, stops, can't hear Lando, has to turn around and say, what?
See, I have that scene, man. Want to hear it?
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
Attention. This is Lando Calrissian. Attention.
That's it.
2.35 seconds.
Matt's reaction to that was great. He was like, okay.
All right, no.
This is Lando Carrot. And she's what? Done.
That's it.
Get out of the. Get now. What?
The first time she actually is named. As the character has a name, it's just Chyler, and it's in that special edition limited set for that Star Wars card game, which I think is like an elaborate version of War. Isn't that how the game's played?
I think so.
Like you put down a bunch of cards with numbers, and a higher number wins or some shit. I don't know how that game works.
That card game has seemed to name a lot of characters that we've talked about.
Between that and the role playing game books, you're right.
They did more work than George Lucas did on that.
And like Chris's name said, this obscure character that had no name has a freaking spin-off character named Kimmy Chyler. It's Tion's cousin, and she's a famous swoop racer found in the Shadow Syndicate expansion of these guard games.
It's like Skipper to Barbie,
I guess, or Leather to Pinky.
Oh. That's a better one. That's great.
Right, I'm gonna do it.
I pictured it too.
He did it.
And the Valachi twins.
Okay.
The demolition. Don't you remember the demolition derby?
Oh God, I do now.
The Valachi crunch on Pinky Tuscadero, and she jumps out of the car, and Fonzie's like, "Pinky, no!"
Was that Fonzie?
And then he jumps over.
That's Andrew Dice Clay plays Fonzie in the revisit episode or something.
Oh my God, Pinky, please don't do it now.
say, put your pinky in my sink, John Travolta.
Ah, jeez. I'm not saying that.
Almost busted my Kimmy pinky. Oh.
Oh.
So this was just for Kimmy China. Oh. She's hot. She looks like a suicide girl.
You sound like Woody Allen.
Woody Allen as.
This is Kimmy. How old is Kimmy China?
I got this pinky for her.
I.
Wow.
Sorry, Matt.
That's all right. As long as I got to research this out because I'm almost done.
Oh,
okay. Come on back.
Now, last but not least, and this is more of her story in this. Now, this is about as close to, apart from those cards, that I could find of merchandising for her. And in 1999, Lucasfilm licensed some stories for read-along adventures, which I think you guys probably know what those are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Records, yeah, read along the book. They tried to do like a resurgence of them on tape and CD, and the flagship story was the Phantom Menace one. And one of the stories was called The Battle at Bespin, and that's, I think, where a lot of this story comes from, because one of the characters in that is Tion Chyler.
It came from like a children's read along.
Yeah. Now, in lieu of a website, this is when I started to bug you guys to let's get recording, because I found a digital copy of this story.
Ooh.
And in lieu of a website, I was going to play it because it's only a few minutes long, and it'll help pad out the story here.
Ooh.
Okay, so this is from the, I think, 1999. I don't know if it waited a year or not, but the 1999 release of the read-along, The Battle at Bespin.
Mm. This is the story of the Battle of Bespin. You can read along with me in your book. You'll know it's time to turn the page when you hear R2-D2 beep like this. Now, let's begin. The floating majestic cloud city silently drifted through the atmosphere of the gas giant planet of Bespin. Tion Chiler, former Imperial secret agent and now rebel informant, prepares for her day's work.
Ho-hum, another fun morning filling out mining approval forms. Another day keeping a low profile from the Empire. If only the Empire hadn't taken over Cloud City, maybe things would be more exciting around here.
Without warning, a small alarm starts buzzing on Tion's desk.
What's this? Goodness, this is the secret communicator given to me by the Rebel Alliance when I joined their fight. I wonder what this could mean.
Without hesitation, Tion picks up the communicator and opens a channel.
Hello?
A familiar voice crackled to life on the other end of the line.
Tion Chiler, this is Rogue Squadron Commander Wedge Antilles.
Commander Antilles, to what do I owe the pleasure?
I only wish it was a pleasure. I called to warn you. Rogue Squadron, along with a rebel fleet of warships, are headed your way.
My way? Why?
We're going to take back Cloud City. You've got about 5 minutes to evacuate.
5 minutes?
I wish I could give you more time, but we're already on our way. Good luck, and may the Force be with you. Wedge out.
Wedge cut the communications. Tion began to scramble.
The Empire isn't going to give up Cloud City without a fight. A lot of innocent people could get hurt. But I don't have much time. There's at least one person I have to try to save.
Meanwhile, in the office of the Aerofilter Group mining facility, mining technician Wilra Hood sat working, unaware of the impending invasion.
18 ball sticks of Tibanic acid in one scoop. Not a bad start to the day.
The door chime of the workstation access hatch rings.
Well, who could that be this time of day? Come in!
The door slides open as a frantic Tion Chiler rushes into the room.
Wilro, come on, we have to leave.
Leave? Are you crazy? I just started a hot streak on the Tabana mining.
You don't understand. The rebels, they're on their way.
Rebels? On their way here?
Yes, a whole fleet. They're going to take back Cloud City.
Take back Cloud City? How?
The defense grid information you helped me transmit to the rebels. They got it. And it's all correct. They'll break through the defenses in seconds. Now we have to go.
Okay, okay, but hold on just 1 second.
Wilra Hood opens a secret drawer from his workstation and removes a strange mechanical device.
What's that?
It's a bioscans generator. I've imprinted it with both our biosignatures. If the Empire scans for us during the invasion, they'll think we're still in here.
Oh, Wilro, you think of everything.
That's what I do.
Tion and Wilro hurry through the halls of Cloud City, ducking around corners and hiding in shadows, trying not to cause any undue attention before the Rebel fleet arrives. Soon, they find their way to an Imperial transport hangar.
If we can just make it to one of those transports, we're home free.
I don't see any guards. Should we run for it?
Probably. How much time until the Rebels arrive?
Less than a minute.
Then I guess we have no choice. Let's go for it.
Before the two finish their first step, a pair of armed stormtroopers stumble on our heroes.
Oh, this is a restricted area. What's your clearance code?
I am Tion Chiler. Clearance code Alpha Gamma 208.
Alpha Gamma 208? This scan says you're in Alpha Filter Workstation 17. How are you here?
Well, I...
Something fishy's going on here. Let's take these two to holding until we figure it out. Okay.
Time is quickly slipping away before the impending rebel attack. Our heroes captured by stormtroopers are being led down the corridors of Cloud City.
I'm sorry I got you into this situation, Wilro.
Don't be sorry. It's not over yet.
I wish I could be as optimistic.
Keep your chin up. I still have a few tricks up my jumpsuit sleeve.
In an instant, the rebel fleet arrives, breaking through the Imperial defenses with ease, firing on the city. A nearby explosion startles the stormtroopers long enough for Willow to attack.
Hakiba!
Ah!
With a swift kung fu kick, Willow knocks one of the stormtroopers down.
Gymkata!
With an equally devastating karate chop, the second trooper falls.
Willow, I never knew you could do that.
Like I said, just a trick up my sleeve.
Well, what do we do now?
Now? Now we run.
The two run through the corridors to the transport hangar. Suddenly, a damaged TIE fighter slams into the walls of the city, leaving a large chasm between Tion and Wilrow.
Wilrow, can you make it over?
No, it's too far to cross. You go, I'll be all right.
I'm not leaving without you.
Now, we don't have time for your sentimental, wishy-washy, teary-eyed, insipid, soft-hearted, sugary, tender, moonstruck... weepy, over-emotional, lovey-dovey, corny, rose-water, tear-jerking, idealistic, symbolic... gesture. Now go on that transport and don't look back. Do you hear me?
I do, Wilrow. I'm going.
Tion reluctantly turns to run to the transport, but not before saying one more thing to her good friend.
Wilrow, just one more thing.
Yes, Tion? I know, Tion. I know.
Amazing!
Oh my god!
The whole thing with of you saying all the adjectives and the pages turned.
Yeah.
Was
terrible. Yeah, the 3-page will roll rant was. I was like, oh, that's funny. That's clever.
Gesture.
No, what's sad is that when you said I got this thing here, and then you played it.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here listening, I'm like listening.
Yeah.
And then Dave goes, that's Matt. And I go, it is. Like, and then
I was
you. I'm listening going, this is pretty neat. And Dave's like, that's Matt.
It was slowed
yeah,
down.
It slowed it down a little bit. Yeah.
And I go,
yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, why this guy sounds a lot like Matt.
Actually, when I read scripts, I tend to read too fast. I actually slowed it down to just try it. I'm like, oh, that actually, it makes it a little lower. I'm just going to fuck it. I'll just leave it instead of re-recording it. So once again, yes, the story is a little lackluster, so I had to fill in my own gaps, much like the Rex story. So that's where that came from. Plus, it was a lot of fun to do.
Well done.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Very nice. To and, you and your lovely co-star.
When is she going to do her own podcast? She's amazing on everything she does.
Well, that's not the I might hint and say that's not the last time we're going to hear Wilrow and Tion, I think.
Oh. These are the days of our life. She was good. I don't know why she was British.
She just said, can I do it as British? I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's good. I love the best thing about it was the Star Tours sound.
you recognize that. That's awesome.
I heard that sound. I was like, and his new catchphrase, that's what I do.
That's what I do.
Don't say that too soon. You might get a shirt with that on it.
Yeah. Right. And the karate sounds. Hakiba!
those are both old Mystery Science Theater 3000 references.
Well done.
It's good.
Thank you.
Very good.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I always get, when I do shit like that, like we did that, I did something similar for the Grady's. I always get nervous that it's going to suck. So I'm glad you liked it.
No, we were quiet because we didn't know if you were like, well, you know, because we're recording it.
Right.
So we didn't want to trample it.
If for some reason that ever happens again, feel free to laugh over it because I'll just, you know, plug it in post editing anyway.
No.
Yeah, I'm glad that you put that in because, like Tim said, I was expecting a soap opera, and we didn't get it until you came through. Until so thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. It was my pleasure. I love doing that shit. I wish that is what I enjoy most is putting things like that together because I love audio drama. I love listening to audio dramas and you know, I'm never going to write a serious one because I'm not a serious writer, but something like that, I'll do that all day long.
It was like Titanic.
How long did it take you to write that?
To write it? That's always the hardest. That probably took a couple sitting. Now, I did not write it like our Christmas special where I really cared about any continuity, but it did take probably the longest process of that was to write it because Christy recorded all her lines. I recorded all mine. I only had to slow down my narrator voice. That was the most post-production. And then mixing it was just, I lose all track of time when I mix shit like that. That's when I start having fun with it. So I don't even know how long that took because I didn't even care because I was enjoying myself. Like doing the TIE Fighter and X-Wing fight. That was fun putting that together.
Yeah, it sounded like those old tapes.
Well, books, yeah.
You'll know it's time to turn the page. Yeah, it was perfect.
I actually listened to, there is a real website. This, of course, you know, is fake, but there is a real website. I think it's called readalongs.com. If you just read, if you search readalong on Google, you'll probably find it. And they actually have digitized most of them. And I downloaded the, like the original story ones, like the Planet of the Hojibs and the Ewoks join the fight in the Battle of Endor to kind of, to kind of see what these, how, what the format of these stories were. And I listened to all those as I was writing, or even really before I started writing this one, so that I'd keep it short, figure out how they do their beginning, middle, and ends. And that's what I based it on.
Beautiful.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great job.
Jorb, is there an R in there? Great Jorb.
It's from the Homestar Runner. Great Jorb.
So,
and the thoughts.
Does that mean, since that was in lieu of a website, that we're ready for trivia?
We are ready for trivia.
Oh,
nice.
Yay, quotes.
It's not trivia.
No,
it's not. Quotes. What was the game? What was the game they used to have, Chris? And it had an actual name. He just called, let's play quotes.
I think it was called movie quotes. I think it was called.
Was it movie? Let's play quotes.
Yeah.
Let's play quotes.
Now.
Well, we're calling this game. What are we calling it? Who said that?
Who said that?
Who said that?
All right. And
who said that?
That's what I do. I figure out who said that.
I got a couple of tricks up my jumpsuit sleeve. I thought that was a good line.
That is good. All right. Well, the scores are like this. Matt has one.
Woohoo!
Tim has one. Yeah. I have one. And Chris has none.
I have none.
But we just started.
But didn't we? Did I get one that wasn't in the movie?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
You got one that was. I mean, this is a new round of trivia, and what we're doing is we're getting a random quote from a random movie, one of the six movies. The guesser has no idea what movie it's coming from, and they're just getting a quote. I'm scrolling randomly through a script, and you're getting the first quote at the top of the page, and Chris got one from a scene that was never filmed.
But aren't we doing like you get all the pies, so all six movies?
Yes, and right now Matt has one from episode 4, Tim has one from episode 1, and I have one from episode 3. Okay. So if you collect a quote from all six movies, you're going to get 5 bonus points.
That's going to suck because it's going to be so hard to get all six.
Yeah, I mean, you could load up on one movie and never get the bonus point. So it's just a random thing. But we're going to see how it goes again because Matt is first.
All right.
Are you ready, Matt?
I am ready.
Okay. Your random quote is this. Loud and clear, kid. What's up?
Did I just have to say who said it?
Yes.
Han Solo, I think.
That is correct.
All right.
It sounded like Casey Kasem. There's a long distance dedication.
Come on out, yeah.
You mad, Chris?
I ain't mad.
You sound mad.
It said the word kid. It's like,
yeah, exactly. That was what it. I'm not sure what movie it's from.
You know where it's from? Do you know what it's from? Not that this is extra points, but...
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I don't. That's what I'm saying. I'm not even sure which one.
Loud and clear, kid. What's up?
Yeah.
Oh, is it the beginning of Empire?
It is.
Okay.
Yay! Power of quotes.
Very good.
Let's play quotes.
Quotes!
Quotes! Quickly, get the quotes!
Are you ready, Tim?
Yes.
Okay. Your random quote is...
Quotes!
Doesn't he have to say stop or no? We do that later?
No, I got it all randomized right here. Okay. You don't have to do anything. You sit your pretty little self down there.
Okay.
And I got it.
Excuse me.
You're going to have to do it for me.
I'll do anything for you, dude.
Oh. Here's your quote, Tim.
Yep.
I must speak with Jabba.
That's the whole line?
Yes.
That's Luke Skywalker.
That is correct.
In Return of the Jedi.
Ooh, he's adding stuff.
Played by Mark Hamill.
Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, played by Mark Hamill.
Very good.
Chris, quotes!
Are you ready?
Give it to me.
You're already upset. Why are you upset?
Whatever, we'll wait to hear mine.
He's going to get something from the Clone Wars 3rd episode, 2nd season.
Random.
But...
Here you go. They've knocked out all our communications.
Kid, is there a kid in there afterwards? Or
no. No. Yeah? The quote is, they've knocked out all our communications.
Quotes.
You gotta know who says it?
Yes.
Can I say Skywalker?
You're being vague?
Yeah, no, I'll say Luke. Yeah, whatever.
Is that your answer?
That's my answer.
It's not even close. Does anybody else have a guess? Tim, you're the only one who would get this.
They've knocked out all of our communications. Is that General Wright? General Riken, maybe.
It's Captain Panaka.
Oh, Lord.
Ooh.
Was it followed with Sly Bibble saying, a communications disruption can mean only one thing?
Invasion.
No, he's speaking to Qui-Gon in episode one. So, Chris, that's another one you didn't get.
Shocking.
So you got to roll the die and give me a random movie. I will not look at the die.
If I roll a one, what does that mean?
That's episode one.
Okay. These aren't in order. Okay, gotcha.
I rolled a nine. How the fuck did that happen?
Oh, he gets good dice.
Huh? No, I'm not looking.
All right.
You almost knocked over my beer, though.
I apologize.
That would be a real problem.
That'd be a real problem. Still loading. There we go.
All right, I'm ready.
The random quote is...
Yes.
Come on. I've told you kids to slow down.
I've told you kids to slow down?
Yes.
I've told you
Jeff Rapp,
kids
to slow down. He's talking to Chris's children.
That bastard.
Who the heck is talking to kids? The only kids
that
I think of are in episode one. I told you kids, I've told you kids to slow down. It has.
I'm reading this stuff before this, and I'm just.
I told you kids to slow down.
I told you kids.
Alter my style to live the fast lane.
Told you kids to slow down.
All right, I'm gonna go with, maybe this was something that wasn't filmed. Maybe it was Shmi Skywalker talking to Anakin and his friends. So I'm gonna say Shmi Skywalker.
I might have to go to the judges.
Ooh.
Well, is it Shmi or not Shmi?
No, it's not.
To Shmi,
no.
It's Shmi.
All it says is woman.
It says
here it's when R2.
Which movie?
A New Hope.
No, I'm wrong.
R2 and 3. Oh,
if it's New Hope, yeah, it can't be Shmi.
Imperial Starship, stars circle as the pod rotates through the galaxy. 3PO says, that's funny, the damage doesn't look as bad from out here. That's in the movie.
Yeah.
R2 beeps at a response. Are you sure this thing's safe? And then it says, exterior Tatooine, Anchorhead Settlement, power station.
This is Luke and his friends.
Day, yeah.
Oh.
I told the kids to slow down.
So some random woman talking
to... It just says woman.
Tank and what are their names, Tim?
Wormy and...
Skippy.
Yeah, Wormy was Luke's nickname.
Yeah, because following
Stormy
that...
Stormy and Windy.
Now that I'm
like that. That's right.
Windy Storm, it's I Fixer. Don't know.
Like that. It's Fixer, Cammy, Luke, Biggs. It's some...
Frank the woman. Tank.
Yeah.
We're going streaking!
Ogre and Booger.
It's some woman talking to them in the deleted scene.
I want her autograph. Mm.
Woman?
Woman. That's all I want. All
right, well, I got a tough one. So, after a couple rounds, Matt and Tim both have two.
Haha.
Quotes.
And I might add, you both have two separate movies, so you're on your way to the 5 bonus points.
Aha. Huh?
I have
quotes.
And Chris is still to get a point.
Aha. Yeah.
Whatever. Remember what happened last time, though?
Yeah, you got to call
That's
your buddy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Pretzel man. Rick, shut your fucking mouth. I like Rick. I'm just kidding.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode featuring Tion Chyler, the hottie.
Oh, she's that hot. I mean, I don't know why you say that.
She is a saucy mix.
Redheaded
woman of power.
She's got the hair in a bun. She kind of looks like a
yes,
librarian,
is.
Like, and not mm. and not a naughty librarian. Just
her hair's in my bun.
What does that mean?
What?
What does that mean?
How does that happen?
I think we all know.
No, you'll have to explain that one to me.
She's a printing on my paper.
Mm-hmm. You can't just repeat what I said and think it's 30.
A little bit 30. Because her hair, right? Yeah. Go ahead, her hair.
It's in your asshole. Is that the thing that you just said?
Oh, come on.
That's how I like it. My buns.
Christ. My
buns. It's sad that Tim knows that. I mean, it sounds
well,
like there's,
you know,
previous knowledge going
maybe
on.
We were scissoring.
Pole to pole or pole to pole? What's going on over there?
Huh? I don't know.
She's not hot because the, like,
hey,
Matt's.
Hey.
Yeah.
Watch it.
The
lightly.
The mom jeans and the khaki vest. And she's all frumped out.
Oh. She's a bill.
Yeah. She.
A Bespin. I like.
You saved the best for last.
I was going to say the whole thing.
I want to know, okay, there's the picture here of her in her tan little vest. Who's the super rail thin chick behind her that's sort of shuffling across the floor?
That's her cousin.
That's Kimmy.
I don't know.
That's Skipper.
Skipper.
Well,
there's something. This lady's a minx. She's probably crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's not a chance encounter. Those two passing each other in the hall like that.
She'll give a stranger a squeezer with a blink of an eye.
A squeezer.
She squeezed my eye.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. My one eye.
One eye.
I'm trying to say stuff, you know.
Yeah, I don't think it matters.
They're out there somewhere.
They're out there somewhere.
What that means?
Yeah.
They're out there somewhere.
Somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. All right. Whoa. Join us next time. We discuss. A lot of you won't like what I'm going to say. I'm going to say Sheb Wooley.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.